Today's shir is Masechta Ksubos, Daf Hei, and we will start on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom, Amar Maran. We had discussed previously, briefly, the halacha of making an nisuin, of consummating a marriage, whether on Friday night or on Matzah Shabbos. Says the Braisa, Gemara quotes the Braisa that we spoke about previously, Benkach, whether we speak a situation that the chosen father, the kala's mother passed away, and we needed to make the nesu'in earlier than we had originally planned, or benkach, or whether the wedding was taking place at the proper time on Yom Revi'i, la'yivol, the first bid that a chosen does with his kala should not take place, lo'y be'arev Shabbos, v'lo'y be'matzah Shabbos, not on Friday evening, and not on Matzah Shabbos. Says my bishlam be'arev Shabbos, why such a wedding should not take place on Friday night, b'shem chabura, as we're going to be discussing quite extensively in our coming shiurim, what is the issue, or what may possibly be an issue with marrying a woman on Friday night and doing the bia the first time Friday night, is making chabura, causing the blood of the dam b'sum to come out, and that may not be done on Friday night. El b'matzah Shabbos, ask the Gemara, why matzah Shabbos? Am I loy? Why can't you do the bia on matzah Shabbos? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Zera, Mishim Chesbonus. The loch, because since the wedding is going to be taking place on matzah Shabbos, and the loch, we're concerned that on Shabbos he's going to be preoccupied with making all sorts of plans for the wedding. And as the Pasuk says, regarding Shabbos, that we're not allowed to do any of these types of activities in Shabbos. As the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Gamel Amar Aleph teaches us, you shouldn't walk on Shabbos like you walk during the week. You shouldn't do business on Shabbos as you do during the week, even if you're not doing melacha. And then the Gemara continues there, Shloi deburcha shel Shabbos kedeburcha shel chol. Even what you speak about on Shabbos should not be the same as what you speak about during the week. And as Rashi points out there in Masechta Shabbos, what the Gemara means to say is that on Shabbos, one should not be speaking about business activities or things that are involving the weekdays. And according to this, since the wedding is going to be taking place Matzah Shabbos, that's why the Gemara is saying we can't make the wedding Matzah Shabbos. We're concerned that we may end up speaking about these things for Matzah Shabbos. The halacha, however, is that even though, as we just said, one may not speak on Shabbos regarding matters that are not regarding Shabbos, the halacha is that dibur is asur. Speaking about these kind of matters is asur. Hearer, to think about these types of matters is mutar. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Abaya. So we're saying that the concern is that you may make these kind of plans on Shabbos, which it's asur. Ask the Gemara, the cheshbon shel mitzvah mi'asiri, but this is a cheshbon shel mitzvah. There's a halacha, there's a mitzvah to get married. So why is this asur? And says the Gemara, prove to you, the Rav Chisda, Rav Huna, the Army Tavayu, they both teach us quite explicitly, Cheshbonis HaMitzvah, Mutal Chazrin B'Shabbos. We're allowed to make Cheshbonis HaMitzvah on Shabbos. V'am Rav Yaakov, V'am Rav Yochanan, Hochel Labatik Knesius, Labatim Midrashus. We're allowed to go to different places, L'fakech Al Iskei Rabbim, to take care of communal needs, and the Loch is Af B'Shabbos. So here we're seeing, as the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, Chafetzecha Asurim, but Cheftzei Shemayim are allowed to be done on Shabbos. Now, the Bach says, even though we're learning that if it involves a mitzvah, it may be done on Shabbos, there are, says the Bach, limitations to this halacha. And the Bach, one of the halachas the Bach says, is that one on Shabbos cannot invite guests from a piece of paper. Because one of the halachas that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos is read story hedyotis, documents that are not relevant to halacha. And here, And we're concerned that if you're going to be reading from a piece of paper, this kind of document, you may end up inviting guests on Shabbos. However, the Magen Avraham disagrees. And he says that, so the question on the Bach is, just like he says you can't read something that involves a mitzvah, because you may end up reading something that doesn't involve a mitzvah, maybe cheshbonus a mitzvah should be usur, because you may end up doing cheshbonus that are not of mitzvah. The Magen Avraham says, we don't make our own gezeiros. And there is no such gezeira, and the halacha is that you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. So Ran asked, the Gemara says, Poiskim tzedakah l'aniyim b'Shabbos. We're allowed to donate money to aniyim on Shabbos. But the halacha is, asked the Ran, that ein mekatshim b'Shabbos. We're not allowed to make something hegdish on Shabbos. So why is this permissible? So the Rabbeinu Chananel answers that when the halacha is that we're not allowed to be magdish something in Shabbos, that's only when we're magdish a specific item. But we're not magdish a specific item. We're just saying we're going to donate for Dvar Tzedakah. That's mutar. Even though there's a question on that pshat, because the halacha is that erchin may not be done on Shabbos, but erchin doesn't involve, it just involves that you're going to be obligated to give a certain amount, and yet the halacha is that you're not going to make erchin on Shabbos. So the cowboy gives a different point. The cowboy says that when somebody's magdish something, well, we know whenever you magdish something, what happens is that something that was till now yours becomes hegdish. So it goes from your property to the property of hegdish. But when you donate stock up, that's not what's happening. But many ask question on the cowboy, because when I say I'm going to give something to an ani, so that's also, it's going from my property to his property. So because of this question, the Magen Avraham says that it doesn't mean that when it says Parshkut Stokal Anim B'Shabbos, it doesn't mean that you're allowed to transfer it to the ani's ownership on Shabbos. What it means is you're allowed to make the commitment on Shabbos, but actual transferring should be done after Shabbos. And in fact, the Mishnah Berurah says that if somebody wants to donate something on Shabbos to the Beis HaKnesses, to the Beis HaMedrash, he should really do the designation before Shabbos to avoid the question that we just learned. So the Gemara said also, Holchim about the consist about the Midrashos, Lefakech al Iski Rabin b'Shabbos. So most Rishonim explain that here we're not talking about a situation of Kuach Nefesh, obviously. We're speaking about something that needs attention. And the halacha is that we're allowed to do it on Shabbos. V'omer Rav Yaakov bar Idi, Omer Rav Yochanan, V'fakim b'chuach nefesh b'Shabbos. When the situation of b'chuach nefesh, that may be done on Shabbos. So the Rishonim ask, we know that b'chuach nefesh, we're allowed to do whatever we need to do. So what's the Gemara saying? And that's why the Tosfos Rid says that we should take out the word b'chuach nefesh. And instead of having the Gerson, the Gemara, Pikuach Nefesh, the proper Gerson al Gemara is Pikuach Rabin. The other Rishonim want to say that when indeed we're faced with a real situation of Pikuach Nefesh, of course we are obligated to do whatever we have to do on Shabbos. What the Gemara here means to be speaking about, they explain, is where it's not a clear and immediate and imminent danger. In such a case, the halacha is that even though normally we should not be allowed to do it on Shabbos, our Gemara is teaching us that we may do it on Shabbos. The place where the Akum would gather together, the Fakir Chaliske Rabbim al Shabbos. So here too, there are some Rishonim that take out the word b'Shabbos. And what they're saying is that the Gemara is teaching us that even though this is a place that normally one is not allowed to be there, but when we're dealing with a situation of Tzarech HaRabim, we're allowed to go there even on Shabbos. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw is that this is a place that people normally gather together for various requirements that the tzibur needs. And normally, during the week, we're allowed to go there. But on Shabbos, we're not allowed to go there. But our Gemara is teaching us that when it's a Tzayr HaRabim, we're allowed to go there on Shabbos. Tana Dvei Reb Menashe, And then continues the Gemara that the Tanna Bnei Menashe teaches us, Mishatchan Antinoikis L'Oros B'Shabbos. We're allowed to talk about Shidduchim on Shabbos. Or we're allowed to talk a Latinic L'Lamdei Sefer L'Lamdei Umnas. We're allowed to engage a Rebbe for a Talmud to teach him Torah or whatever anything else. So we have here, again, things that may be done on Shabbos that are business related. There is a Machloikis Achroinim, if we are allowed to have this kind of conversation, what does that mean? Does that mean we're even allowed to speak about the financial element of these conversations? And when we're hiring a Rebbe, we're allowed to discuss how much his charge is? Or we're allowed to engage him, but not allowed to talk to him about the financial element? That will have to wait after Shabbos. Ramosha says that from here we see that even though Rabbi Nuroi says, Manich ani kol umnes shebo'olam, I put away every type of profession, ve'eini melamnes b'ni ala Torah, I only teach my children Torah, sh'adam oichel b'schar ma'olam hazeh, v'kerem kiyem s'lo'olam haba, there's nothing better than Torah. Says Rabbi Moshe, that still, if a child is not going to be able to sit and learn Torah his whole life, we have an obligation to teach him a panasa, and that obligation exists even on Shabbos. And the Shita asks the obvious question. The Gemara here brought many brises that taught us that we're allowed to do tzorchei mitzvah on Shabbos. And the question is, why was it necessary for each one of these cases to be mentioned? So he explains, if we were only, here we're talking about that we're preparing the meal for Shabbos. So first the Gemara says that we're allowed to think about it. We're allowed to mitzvah Shabbos. But maybe it would be the case, only something that the meal, everything is prepared before Shabbos. But if it's not prepared before Shabbos, I wouldn't be allowed to. Says the Gemara that you're allowed to be poisek tzedaka. And the pshat and poisek tzedaka means that you did not have an intention before Shabbos to give the tzedaka. But you only decided on Shabbos to give the tzedaka. And yet it's considered legitimate. But maybe we would think that you're not allowed to go somewhere to see what's going on. So that's what the Gemara says, that you're allowed to go to the Batei Knesiyos to see what's going on. But then the concern is, maybe even though you're allowed to go see, but you're not allowed to go to the place where they sell the food, because maybe you're going to do something that's wrong. And that's what the Gemara says, that we're even allowed to do more than that on Shabbos. We're even allowed to go to Tarkisoyos and Kirkisoyos. So we see how lenient the Chazal were in a Tzorich Mitzvah on Shabbos. And therefore the question is, why are we being strict and not allowing a wedding on Matzah Shabbos? Says the Gemara Elam Rav Zera, the reason why we can't have a wedding on Matzah Shabbos is a different concern altogether. Gzera Shemi Yishchet Ben Oif. Maybe we're going to need to shecht an oif on Shabbos. If somebody knows that he's preparing the meal for Matzah Shabbos and he's going to think that he maybe doesn't have enough food, and he's going to end up shechting a bird on Shabbos. So of course, the Ritva asked the question, why does the Gemara specify shechting the oif from everything else that possibly could be done on Shabbos, cooking, etc.? And Ritva says, because the Gemara specifies Shema Yishcha ben oif more than anything else, because a bird, it takes a second to shecht the bird. And in that 1 second when somebody's preoccupied, he may forget himself and shecht the bird on Shabbos. Cooking or even shechting an animal is a much greater, takes much more effort. And that, he'll remember that it's Shabbos. And that's why the Gemara is focused on, shechting a ben oif. The Chasam Sofer asks, the Gemara, in a number of places in Shas, says, Tav dvar mitzvah. If somebody thought that he's doing a mitzvah, then he's potter. So why over here, this person thinks he's doing a mitzvah? He's preparing a suda for chasam v'kala. So some explain that this price is going, according to Manda Omer, the Tav dvar mitzvah is not potter. Another pshat is that the suda of the nesuin, Chasam Sofer says, cannot be considered the primary mitzvah. The primary mitzvah is the getting married, not the suda. Another pshat that he suggests that the halacha is that if somebody cooked or prepared something on Shabbos b'Isser, you won't be able to eat it on Matzah Shabbos. So what the Gemara means to say is that yes, maybe he'll be a Tabit V'Mitzvah, and Tabit V'Mitzvah is potter. But we're trying to have a wedding meal, and now we're going to have just the opposite because we're going to have a meal that may not be eaten. Another pshat, that Tabit V'Mitzvah is only considered if you're doing it L'Tzarech Shabbos. But here it's being done L'Tzarech Chol, that can be called L'Tzarech Mitzvah. Amalei Abaya, so asks Abaya if you're going to take this approach, Ela Mayatop, Yom Kippur Shchalis B'Sheni B'Shabbos. If Yom Kippur falls on a Monday, so Erev Yom Kippur is on Sunday, and Erev Yom Kippur we have to eat, and again, Yitcha, we should push it off. You should push off Yom Kippur till Tuesday. Shouldn't we be concerned that you're going to shech the bird? And here too, again, the Rishonim point out that the concern is by Yom Kippur, because in Yom Kippur, Erev Yom Kippur, people eat light food. And people eat light food, they eat oif, and they may shech the oif on Friday. They may shech the oif on Shabbos to have it for Sunday by day. There are some very important points. The Rishonim point out that the Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah teaches us the Lo Yadu Rosh. Rosh Hashanah can never be a Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. And it's all connected because when Yom Kippur will fall and when Hashanah Rabbah will fall. So they ask if our Gemara is going to say that Yom Kippur should be pushed off to Tuesday, then Rosh Hashanah will be on Sunday. And the problem with doing that is that if Rosh Hashanah will be on Sunday, Hashanah Rabbah will be on Shabbos. And we never want that Hashanah Rabbah should fall on Shabbos. So the Pnei Yeshua explains, of course we don't want Hashanah Rabbah to be on Shabbos. But that's if we could manipulate the calendar without any other considerations. But here, by doing this, we're going to have a problem with being Michal Shabbos. For that, we don't have that concern. And as Tosfos points out, again, this is only concern by Yom Kippur when they ate oif, when they ate bird meat on Erev Yom Kippur. On Yom Tov, when they eat animal beef, that's not something a person is going to get confused to do on Shabbos, and there is no reason to be concerned. Furthermore, this is Gemara is saying we're concerned that you're going to need the bird for Sunday by day. We're not concerned about Matzah Shabbos, which is Yom Kippur. Why are we not concerned about Matzah Shabbos, which is already Erev Yom Kippur? So from here, Rashi and other Rishonim say that it's a raya that the mitzvah to eat Erev Yom Kippur is only Erev Yom Kippur by day, not the night before. However, the Netziv says that even though the mitzvah that there is to eat Erev Yom Kippur doesn't apply on the night before, but says the Netziv, it's appropriate even to eat extra on that night as well. So again, the question is, if we're concerned, why would we allow, if we're concerned Shem Yishka Ben Oif, why are we allowing Yom Kippur to fall on Monday? Answers the Gemara, Hasam Dal Nafshei, since he's only preparing a meal for his own family, Loi Tarid. Here, Hacha, in our Gemara, where he's preparing a meal, a wedding meal, so there's a big meal being prepared, Tarid, there's a concern that he's going to get involved and he's going to do it on Shabbos. Inami, Hosam Islay Revacha, as we just said, the meal is only by day. So he has all Matzah Shabbos to prepare the meal. And therefore, we're not worried that he's going to Chas V'Sholem be Mechal Shabbos. Hacha, whereas here, Leslay Revacha, if the wedding takes place on Matzah Shabbos, he doesn't have that time. And that's why we're worried that he'll be Mechal Shabbos. Says the Gemara, now, Hashtad Asas Lahachi, now that we've established this new consideration of Shema Yishka Ben Oif, says the Gemara, Erev Shabbos Nami, even a wedding should not take place on Friday, even though the Gemara has been giving us different reasons, we have a new concern. Maybe what's going to happen is that the wedding is going to go into Friday night. There won't be enough food available. And because there won't be enough food available, they'll end up cooking or shechting Ben Oif Friday night after Shabbos. Tosfos The very mask of a Hilchasa on Dav Zayin and Av tells us that the halacha does not follow this brisa, and the halacha is that we're allowed to make a wedding on Friday, and the Sudas wedding, Sudas Nesuin, will be on Shabbos. And so too, the Rosh says we can have a Sudas Nesuin on Shabbos and a Matzah Shabbos. The Rambam, however, disagrees and says the wedding should not be held not on Friday nor on Sunday because we're concerned of the possible Chilul Shabbos. The Haflos says what he doesn't mean, that the Rambam doesn't mean Sunday, because our Gemara was only focused on Matzoi Shabbos, but on Sunday, one is allowed to have a wedding. The Aruch HaShulchan says that, no, our Gemara was concerned about Erev Yom Kippur. Now, Erev Yom Kippur, as we just said, they ate by day, and yet the Gemara said there's a concern. The Shulchan Aruch says the minig is, that we, and that was a prevailing minig, that not to make weddings on Friday. The Tshuvas Ramah writes that it's not common to make weddings on Sunday because there's another consideration, and that's the consideration of Leiselchu B'chukas Agoyim. Since the Akum would typically make weddings on Friday, we shouldn't do what they do, and we should not make a wedding on Friday. However, the Achronim say that nowadays there's no fixed day on which the Akum make weddings, and even he says that if even the Achronim say even if we'll see that an Akum does make a wedding on Sunday, it's not for religious reasons. It's for convenience because they don't work on Sunday. The halacha is that one can make a wedding on Sunday. And he even saw that Achronim suggest that one should perhaps specially make a wedding on Sunday, because on Sunday we're not as busy, we're not working, so we're going to be able to spend more time at the wedding. And when one attends a wedding, there's a concept of Simchas Chasuv Kala. So on the contrary, one should go to the wedding on Sunday, one should make a wedding on Sunday so we can increase, in Mitzvah Shem, the Simchas Chasuv Kala. On Friday, the Mishnah Berurah says that even though it was very common, the minig in those days, the weddings were done on Friday, the Mishnah Berurah speaks about very strongly about being careful that the wedding should take place, especially on the short Fridays in the wedding, that there should be no Chilul Shabbos involved in making the wedding. So we learned in our Mishnah as we began the Masechta, Besul and Nasas L'Yom Revi. Ask the Gemara, Ibailu, Besul and Nasas Revi, does that mean that the wedding takes place on Yom Revi, the Nevelis B'Yom Revi, and the Bia takes place on Revi, V'lechshin L'Kruri Dati? So even though the Bia took place Wednesday by day, we're still not concerned that if that's what's going to happen till Friday morning, till Thursday morning, when business is in session, he may have cooled off. Oy Dilma, maybe what the Mishnah means to say, the Sulanus is Brevi, the actual wedding takes place Brevi, but Nevelis B'chamishi, the Bia should take place B'chamishi, for Chashina L'Kruidati, we're concerned that if we give such a big time difference between the wedding and the Bia, and Bezdin being in session, he may cool off, and in that period, not come to Bezdin when we want him to come to Bezdin. Toshma, says the Gemara, the Tani Bakapara, Besulin the Sas Brevi of Nevelis B'chamishi, Hoyal, the Nemer Baruch Ladogim. There's something special about Thursday, because the Pasuk, when it talks about Yom Chamishi and Parshas Bereishis, says, Vivarach Oysam Alakim Lamer, Pru Urvu Umilos Amayim B'amayim. Amana Nisus B'chamishi, but Amana, where there's no issue of Besulim, the Nesuin should take place on Thursday, and the Bia should take place B'shishi. Hoyav Nemer B'Baruch L'Adam. The pasuk says on Yom HaShishi, V'Yivarach Hashem Elokim V'Yom Elokim Pur Revu U'Milus Oretz V'Chavshua. It's interesting. The Gemara speaks about the Brachal Adogim, but the truth is that the pasuk that we just quoted doesn't only speak about fish. The pasuk also speaks about birds. Why is the Gemara focused on the fish and not on the birds? So the Shita explains, because the Birchas Adogim is for two reasons. First of the words when the Torah speaks about the Bracha to Dogim are very similar to the words that the Torah uses when it speaks to human being. Moreover, Pru Revu. Moreover, Dogim, we know, don't have an Ayin Hara. And therefore, getting married on Thursday, when we have that bracha, that the chasen and kala should never be affected negatively by an ayin hara, is most appropriate. Tama, says the Gemara, from here we see mishum bracha, that the concern is by almana, the psula has the bi'a chamishi, is only because of a good eitz mishum bracha. But we see from here that the concern wasn't mentioned. Well, if we're going to do the bi'a too early, akruy dati lo chashinan, says the Gemara. But if that's the way we're learning, that there's a special point in getting married on yom chamishi because of the bracha to dogim, so ask the Gemara Yehachi, so why is this halacha limited to a besula? Almana nami tiva b'chamishi. The almana should also have the chasna on b'chamishi, the bi'an chamishi, because as we just explained, the yom chamishi has this very important point. Hoyel v'nemba bracha l'dogim. Answers the Gemara, bracha d'adam adifalei. Of course, Yom HaShishi, which speaks about the bracha to a person, is much more superior to the bracha that's said by dogim. Just by a human being, we have the concern, as we've been discussing, of a kruri data. But by a mona who doesn't have basulim, so there's no concern of a kruri data. So since there's no concern of a kruri data, we do what's best, and we make the wedding on Yom Shishi. Inami, Shem Shoktu, Chazal were concerned about an almana who's getting married, that she should at least have time to spend with her husband. Why do Chazal teach us that the almana gets married on Thursday? Nevelos b'shishi, and the bia should be in shishi, because says the Gemara, if we're going to say that she should have the bia on chamishi as well, so then lemachor on yom hashishi mashkelim nasav elachloi, the husband will just get up and go to work, and there will be very little time that they'll spend together. And because, as we've discussed this concept previously, shoktu chachama to karnas b'nai Yisrael, Chazal were concerned about the wealth of b'nai Yisrael. Shalmana, so that's what they said, that almana we want should have also at least 3 days with a chasen. Chamishi b'Shabbos, which is the day of the chuppah, erev Shabbos, which is the day of the bia, v'Shabbos, which is Shabbos, because anyway on Shabbos we don't go to work, and because of that she gets 3 days. So here we're saying that there's a concern of shaktu. Chazal were concerned because of that he shouldn't go to work. And the question is, what is included or not included in the halacha that a chassan shouldn't go to work? Whether it's a chassan who's marrying a lamana, and certainly a chassan who's marrying a besula. So the Chazan Ish says that a chassan is allowed to do a dover of it. Just like a chalamoid, one is not allowed to do a malacha, so too, but a dover of it may be done on Cholamoid, so too is the halacha regarding a chassan. There are achrayim, however, who disagree with the Chazan Ish, and they say we cannot compare the situation of Cholamoid to the situation of a chassan. A Cholamoid, there's an issur malacha, and Chazal said when it's a davar avid, there is no issur malacha. A Cholamoid, the issur is that the issur is because the chassan is doim lamelech. And since a chassan is doim lamelech, we have to be concerned that he should be treated like a melech, and a melech doesn't go to work. The Chibina Rav, in discussing the shaila, what is the halacha, what a chassan may a chassan work on chalamoid or not, he says you have to have two conditions met. One is should be, as we just discussed, a dover ovid, and he also says we need that the kala should allow him to go work. If the kala says to him that you're allowed to go to work, then we could take a more lenient approach. Ask the Gemara Ma'ika. So we add now two reasons why the almana her first bia should be on Yom HaShishi. One is because that's the day where the Torah gives a bracha to an Adam, and the other reason because of Shaktu. So ask the Gemara, my ikka ben bracha al Shaktu, what is the halachic nafkamin between those two reasons? Answers the Gemara, ikka benayu Adam batal, a person who never goes to work. So if the concern is that we want him to stay home, he's going to stay home anyway. If the concern, however, is that we want that the bia should be on Yom HaShishi, so even he who doesn't work should have the bia be Yom HaShishi. Inami, another nafkamina will be b'yontif shechalis b'erev Shabbos, that when yontif comes out on Friday, because if we say the concern is that by almana we always want the first bia to be Yom HaShishi, so we always want the first bia to be Yom HaShishi. But if we say that the concern here is that we want him to be home, so here, if it's Yontif, he won't go to work anyway, and we'll have the Shaktu. Says the Gemara Darsh Bakapora. G'doy l'masa tzadikim, yoysev masa shemayim v'aretz. What tzadikim do is even greater than what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did in the creation of the world. For says the Gemara, deal b'masa shemayim v'aretz k'siv, af yodi yozdi aretz, v'yemina tipcha shemayim. Only one of Hashem's hands are mentioned. V'ilu b'masa tzadikim, the same shot tzadikim, when the tzadikim build the base of Migdash, k'siv, machal l'shiftecha pata Hashem, Migdash Hashem, kanu yodecha. And the sheet explains, what is the connection between this Gemara and the previous Gemara? So he says that here, the previous Gemara spoke about that there's a concept of bracha da adam, that when a person is blessed, that is the highest level of blessing. So says the sheet that that's exactly what our Gemara is coming to teach us. The Gemara is teaching us that what a person is involved in creating has in it the greatest bracha, as the psukim that the Gemara just quoted indicate. The Mefarshim explain what is pshat, that the bracha, there's a greater bracha on what people do than what they do with Shemayim. Because, explains the Kli Yakar, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, there was a Shemayim and there's an Aretz. When a person, as we said, that this Pasuk is referring to the building of the Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was built, what does the Beis HaMikdash accomplish? The Beis HaMikdash is the place where there's a connection between the Shemayim v'Aretz, a place which serves as a connection between Shemayim v'Aretz, that is extremely special. The Ksav Sofer has a different approach to this Gemara. He says that to take something which is Gashmius and infuse it with Kedusha is the highest level. Says the Ksav Sofer, that's exactly what happened when they built the Beis HaMikdash. They took silver and they took gold and all these mundane matters and they infuse them with Kedusha. Something that is infused with Kedusha, that started off as Gashmius and now is infused with Kedusha, that is not, there's nothing greater from that. The Ginza Yisrael from the Charkiv Rebbe has a different approach. He says, from the creation of the world, we see that there's a God who created the world. But we don't see, he explains, that there's a God who controls the world. But when you look at the Maaseh of the Tzadikim, that everything they do that it should be consistent with the Halacha. Everything they do, they want, should be consistent with what Hashem wants. That's even greater, because that shows the Hashgach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this world. Heshev, so they asked, Bavli Echad, there was one Bavli who asked on this drasha, Rav Chiv Shemai. The Pasuk says, V'yabeshes, Yod of Netzaru. The Pasuk is describing how Kadosh Baruch Hu created the Oretz. It says, Yodov. So you see that even the Shemayim V'Oretz were created by one hand. So he says that, yes, the Kri is Yodov, but the Ksiv is Yodoi. I saw a beautiful pshat from the Mezritcha Magid. Why is what the tzaddikim do greater than what the Hashem did? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Yesh Mi'ayin. The world started, as the Pasuk says in Parashas Bereishis, Tohu v'vohu, with nothing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that nothing into a world. But what a tzaddik does is just the opposite. He makes a yesh. He's a somebody, but because of his modesty and humbleness, he makes himself into an ayin. Ask the Gemara, but the Pasuk says Yotzaru, and Yotzaru is a Lashon Rabbim, or Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, Yotzra at Spoysof. What the Pasuk is speaking about, the fingers are in one hand. But it's all speaking just about one hand. Ask the Gemara, but Meisvei, there's a Pasuk in Tehillim. The Pasuk says, Hashemayim Mesapren Kfoy Kael, or Masa Yodov, Magad Arikia. So we see that it was Masa Yodov, says the Gemara. Hachi Kamer. What the Pasuk is actually referring to, says the Gemara, is to the Masi Deim Shu Tzadikim. What the Tzadikim are able to do, Mi Magid, how do we see the wonderful ways that Tzadikim behave? Harikia, the moon proves it to us, because my new motor, the Tzadikim are able to cause that it should rain. How are Tzadikim able to cause that it should rain? Because they act in an appropriate manner. And I saw the Mefarshim explain. The greatness of what a tzaddik does is that the way he behaves in this world has such a profound effect on what goes on in the next world. Darsh Bar Kapar Maidik Siv, the Pasuk says, when somebody goes out to war, they have to be careful to prepare a place where they're going to put their waste. The Pasuk says, V'yosu ti'al aznecha, take with yourself a shovel to dig where you could put away your tzoya. Says the Gemara, Al tikri aznecha, ela aznecha. And the Pasuk is coming to teach us, Shem yishma adam davar sheino hogen. If a person hears something they shouldn't hear, yaniach etzbo'i ba'aznav. He should put his finger in his ear to make sure that he doesn't hear. So the Chasam Seif explains what is the continuation of our Gemara. Here the Gemara just taught us how great are the Masi Tzadikim. So once the Gemara teaches us how great the Masi Tzadikim are, we try to understand what makes the acts of the Tzadikim so great. Says the Gemara, because they're so careful not to listen to Lashon Hara. So the Ramban asks a very fundamental question. The Ramban asks that the Pasuk here, as we just said, is coming to teach us how a person is supposed to be very careful when he goes out to war to keep everything clean. And here the Gemara goes and tells us, well, that's not what the Pasuk means. The Pasuk is coming to teach us about putting fingers into the ear and not to listen to Lashon Hara. How do we understand that? So the Yalkut HaGeshuni explains. So the Ramban explains that this is a rule in the whole Torah, that even though Eim Mikra Yotzim Dei Pshutai, even though we always have to follow the Pashup Shad of the Pasuk, that doesn't mean that there isn't always a deeper meaning in the Pasuk. And that's exactly what the Gemara here is coming to teach us, that there's a deeper meaning in this Pasuk, that the Pasuk is coming to teach us how we have to avoid listening to Lashon Hara. The Sefer Yalkut HaGeshuni takes this one step further. Sefer Yalkut HaGeshuni says, as we just explained, the Pasuk here is actually speaking about when they go out to war. And what the Pasuk is, what the Bar Kapara is saying, since the Pasuk is coming to teach us about when they go out to war, what the Pasuk wants to teach us is, how will they be able to prevail in the war? How is somebody able to go to war and not be concerned that something terrible will happen in the war? Says the Gemara, the reason is because if you're careful not to listen to Lashon Hara, you'll be fine. The Hanadam Rav Elazar, Neima Atzbaisa Shal Adam Daimusli say this, why do the fingers of a person look like sticks? My Tama, says the Gemara, Elaim, what does that mean? Elaim Mishum the Mechalkun, that Kadosh Baruch Hu separated each finger. Says the Gemara, that was for a reason. Kol chad v'chad, every finger, l'milsavid, serves a specific purpose. Damamar, zuzeris, the small finger is used to measure, to make the choshen, and the choshen was made out of a zeris, that was the measurement. Zu kmitza, the next finger is the finger that was used to make kmitza when they do a carbon. Zu amma, the middle finger is used to measure an amma. Zu etzba, the index finger, is used by the kohen when he sprinkles the dam on the mizbeach. And Zugoidel, the thumb is used, that's the finger on which they spritz the dam when somebody is a Metzora. So ask Tosfos, if that's what is meant here, so the Gemara should have called it Boyhen, like the Torah calls that thumb, and not Goidel. So that's why Tosfos has a different pshat. Tosfos says what the Gemara means to say is that the Goidel, the thumb, is used in the performance of the Kmitza to scrape off, that it should be strictly what's in the fist of the Kayin, nothing sticking out. Ella, so that's why, says the Gemara, what it means to say is, Matam Meshupah, can you say this? Why are they pointing? The teacher, Shim Yerdam, Yishma Adam Davishena Hogan, that if somebody hears something that he's not supposed to hear, Yenich Etzboisab front of, he should put his fingers in his ears. Tanabe Yishmol, Neima Ozen Kulakasha. So he continues to say, the entire ear is made out of a hard material. The alya, but the earlobe, is raka, is made out of a soft material, to teach us. She'im yishma adam davashayna hagum. If somebody hears something which is inappropriate, yokef alya l'toycha, he should put his soft part of the ear to cover they shouldn't hear. Tana banan, a yishmiya adam l'oznoi dvar metelim. A person should not listen to dvar metelim, b'mnei she'ein. The ears are very sensitive and they're very thin. V'nikvas t'chila l'avarim, and they're most likely to get burnt. And therefore, protect your ears from doing anything wrong. So the Yaris Tavash asked the question. He says, we don't find that the Gemara comes to discuss how, why and how any of the other organs of the body are created. But the ear, the Gemara goes in to discuss, as we just did, about the ear. Why? So he says, all the other organs, the eyes, the mouth, they were created in a way that we could close our mouths. We could close our eyes and not listen to not talk what we're not supposed to talk, not see what we're not supposed to see. But when we speak about the ear is completely open. And since the ear was completely open, that's why the Gemara says, the Gemara is concerned, why was the ear created in such a way that it can always hear even things that it maybe shouldn't hear? And the answer, says the Yaris Tavash, because usually we want you to hear things. And that's why the ears were created in such a way. But as much as we want the ears to be created in a way that you should hear, we also have to be able to close those ears. So the Maral goes on to say that why do we have to have two things, both the fingers, which we could put into our ears, and the earlobe. So he says the earlobe was created that you should have in the ear, so in the ear itself, something that could protect it. But we also wanted it to be protected by an outside ability. And that's where the fingers are done. The Chasam Sofer has a different approach. He says sometimes the fingers are dirty. And if the fingers are dirty, they can't be used to close the ears. So that's why we have the earlobes. So the Gemara says that the ears are the first to be get burnt. So he says, this explains the Chafetz Chaim and the Sefer Shmiras Haloshen. What's pshat in this Gemara? He says that what the Gemara means to say is that all the tsaros, all the problems that can happen to a person emanate from his ears. The person, by listening to what he's not supposed to listen, what that causes is that it goes into a system. And once it goes into a system, then it becomes part of him. And once it becomes part of him, then it becomes very difficult to stay away. And the Gemara in Masechta Kedushin, Rashi, Parashas Mishpatim says that if an Eved Ivri decides that he wants to remain past the 6 years, the Pasuk says, well, you take a drill and you make a hole in the ear. Why in the ear? Because what happened is that this person heard by Har Sinai, Kili B'nai Yisrael Avodim, and instead of listening and inculcating that lesson, explains Demri Emes, he did things that were wrong, and he listened to what he wasn't supposed to listen. He didn't use his ear in the proper fashion. By not using his ear in the proper fashion, that ultimately caused that he should that ultimately caused that he should become an Eved. And therefore, to remind him of this, what the Torah tells us to do is to make a hole in the ear. And when we make a hole in the ear, that causes him to change and do from now on what he's supposed to do. So we've been discussing, as we did at the beginning of our shiur, the concept of getting married on not getting married on Friday night because there's a malacha involved making chabura when you have relations with a woman who's a basula. In order to understand this Gemara, we have to introduce two concepts. One concept is a machlokes that we have throughout Shas regarding a dover she'ein miskaven. If somebody does something, but that's not his intention to do a malacha, is he chayiv or not? It's machlokes of Yehuda and Reb Shimon. Reb Yehuda holds dover she'ein miskaven is chayiv, and Reb Shimon holds a dover she'ein miskaven is potter. Another machlokes, the kalkin, if somebody does something in a destructive fashion, Reb Yehuda says, if you do it in its destructive fashion, you potter. And Reb Shimon says, you chayiv. As when somebody has first-time relations with his wife, there are two issues that are possibly going to happen. One is, as we said, is making chabura, and chabura, according to most Rishonim, the Isser of making chabura is the Isser of Netilas Neshama. You're destroying the body. Another pshat is tzaveya, you're coloring. And the question is, when somebody has beer with his collar the first time, all of these issues come into play regarding should we allow that beer on Friday night or not. And the Gemara begins. Ibayluhu, ma'al liver b'tchil b'shabbos. Can the first beer be done on Shabbos? And the Gemara's question is, do we say dam mifkat pocket? And when the blood is not really part of the skin, and since it's not really part of the body, when you cause the blood to come out, you're not really making a chabura, you're not really doing a malacha, a chabura mechber, the blood is part of it. So the Chasam Sofer explains the Gemara. He says, the Gemara is certainly not asking a question of metzias. Of course the blood is part of it. The question is it since this blood ultimately will come out, since this blood will ultimately come out, is that considered that it's really connected or it's not connected? So of course the question that many Rishonim ask is that we began the Masechta saying that all weddings should take place on Wednesday. And now we're speaking about a wedding that's taking place on Friday night. So one teretz that the Rishonim give, the Tosfos gives, is that they only said that the wedding should take place on Wednesday, but theoretically the bia maybe could take place, the first bia on Friday night. Another pshat that the Rabbeinu Yoino offers is when did they say weddings should be on Wednesday? Weddings should be on Wednesday when Beis Din is in session on Monday and Thursday. But if you live in a time and a place where Beis Din is never specially in session, then you can make a wedding any night. And now the Gemara is asking, can the bia, the first bia, be on Friday night? Then Tim Tzloyman, if we said the dam mifka pater, that the dam is not really connected, so there's no issue of chabura. But the question is, l'dam utzarech, somebody who does beer with psula wants that dam, and that's why it's considered he's making a Pesach, that it's mishari, he just wants to see if she's a psula, but he's not looking to make a permanent opening. Adam l'pesach utzarech, he wants her to be a psula. And since he wants her to be a psula, then the halacha is there will be also. So Rashi explains the Gemara, if he's primarily doing l'tzarech adam, that's not called making a chabura. But if he's doing it for Pesach, then that's called making a chabura, and a chabura is asur. Vintim tzolam l'dam utzarech. He's only doing it for the dam. Well, Pesach memeila asi, that isn't his intention, but that's what happens. So now the Gemara says, the next question would be, is the halach of Shimon Dov Dov Shenim Skav Mutter? Since that's not his intention, the halach is Dov Shenim Skav is Mutter, or is the halacha, as we said a few moments ago, like Rabbi Yehuda, the Dovah Amashen and Miskaven is Asur. And since that's what happens, even though it wasn't his intention, it should be Asur. Vim Tim Tzolaymer, continues the Gemara, if we'll say the halacha is Rabbi Yehuda, Mekakel Hu a Pesach, is this Pesach considered a kilkel? And the reason we would say it's considered a kilkel, because people prefer a besula over a bu'ula. And now, by making her into a Bula, we're downgrading her. And that's called a Mekalkel, a Mesakan who eats a Pesach. Maybe making her into a Bula is downgrading her, but the fact that she now is going to have it easier to have future bias is considered an act of Tikkun. Ikademri, Vim Temtzulayim, so that's the question. Not the Gemara, that was how the Gemara went with the question, if we say Dam Mifkad Pocket. Mitzvah Shem, in the next year, the Gemara is going to analyze the question, and we say Dam is Chaburi Michbar.